Welcome to Christ in Prophecy. Nathan and I are glad you've joined us today. If you've followed Lamb and Lion Ministries for any time, you know that our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible. Within that clear focus, you might say that one of the guiding Bible verses for our ministry and our Christ in Prophecy television program is Revelation 19:10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Much of what we have presented through the years has involved teaching from Bible prophecy, a topic that strikes fear in too many hearts, but is at the heart of God's Word. We believe that God has spoken in order that we can understand His master plan. In ages past, prophecies were often forward-looking in that they foretold coming events and the Messiah to come. Well, now, many of the prophecies we read in the Bible have been fulfilled either in human history and in the person of Jesus Christ. But other prophecies are still forward-looking because they have not yet been fulfilled.
Obviously, the next major prophecy we anticipate is the rapture of the church, when Jesus appears in the sky to gather His bride and take us to the place He has prepared for us in His Father's house. Other prophecies may be fulfilled before the rapture occurs, such as the various wars of the end times, but no prophecy must be fulfilled before Jesus gathers church-age saints.
Following the rapture, the world will undergo a period of tremendous tribulation. Then we're told that Jesus will come again to the earth to set up His millennial kingdom. Much of what will happen during the tribulation, at the second coming, and in the millennial kingdom and eternal state are described in Revelation.
Nathan and I have studied God's prophetic word for years. The descriptions John and the other writers recorded stoke our excitement and build our anticipation. But we realize that many people are visual learners. That is why the church used to communicate the gospel in a series of pictures. It is why we utilize PowerPoint and videos when we speak. And it is why we incorporate beautiful pictures and graphics on our television program and in our acclaimed Lamplighter magazine. One of our favorite contemporary artists is a lady who was inspired to record the scenes from Revelation in a series of paintings. Pat Marvinko Smith set out to convey in pictures what John recorded in words, and she was marvelously successful. We have featured her artwork in various Lamb and Lion Ministries venues for years. Today, we have the great pleasure of connecting with Pat through the miracle of modern technology. Pat, thank you for joining us on Christ in Prophecy.
Well, I'm happy to be here with you. Well, here with you and there with you.
Here through the miracle of technology. Well, I can assure you that I did not overstate our appreciation of your gift and of your willingness to use it to glorify the Lord and really to edify and educate Christians all over the world. You've shared your gift of art with us and through Lamb and Lion Ministries for many years. So, Pat, thank you for being very faithful to the vision and the inspiration the Holy Spirit has laid on your heart.
Well, thank you. Well, it was the Holy Spirit that led me to do all the artwork. I had given my life to the Lord many years ago, but I wanted to also dedicate my talents to Him. And just right after I did that, I was asked to teach this Sunday school class of teenagers. And I thought, you know, at our church. And I'd been a Christian for many years. So I said, okay, well, I will teach it. And the first thing they wanted me to teach on was Revelation. And I was, you know, naive about it, but I said, okay. I mean, I had studied it myself, but I mean, I had been in classes myself, but never taught it. So I thought, all I have to do is get the books, get the visual teaching materials, because as I read it, I could clearly see all the art, all the images so clearly in there and not in the scriptures. And so I thought, well, I'll go get the visual teaching materials and that'll help me and make me feel more comfortable teaching. I couldn't find any. And that was way back when we went to, you know, bookstores to find things. There was nothing online back then. And there was nothing in the bookstores, nothing in libraries, nothing that I could really relate to. There were some line drawings and by a few people, but they didn't express what I was seeing when I read that scripture. It was all in full color. So at that point, I just thought, well, I'll just do it for my Sunday school class. And so that's what I did.
I think that's a great testimony of faithfulness. I will tell you that even within my family, I'm considered to be a bit of a handyman and, when necessary, crafty. But I've always wished that I could paint like you. You know, Winston Churchill and President George W. Bush, when they retired, both of them painted. And so I think many people have an aspiration, but few have the gift that you do. How did you discover your gift for being able to paint?
I think I always knew that I had an artistic gift. ever since I was little. And I was always drawing and painting. And my mother always told the story about finding me under her kitchen table with the crayons drawing on the back underside of the table. But all along, though, my parents encouraged my talent. They recognized it early on, encouraged it, which was so important for me to get started and continue and, you know, just boost my confidence in what the Lord had given me. And so that's, but I've always knew, I mean, I've always been drawing, painting. My parents signed me up for an oil painting class when I was 6 years old. And I still have a couple of those paintings. So I've always felt like, you know, I've always recognized it maybe and loved doing what I do.
Wow. Well, Pat, if you had to draw and paint all these paintings for your Revelation class, how many paintings was that and what was your first?
Well, I did just a few of them first, Nathan. I was really, what I would do is do a sketch first and I would bring that into the class because some of these took weeks to do. So I'd bring the sketch in. For instance, the Four Horsemen. I brought in a sketch of the first horseman. And it ended up being one picture. But I bring in a sketch, pencil sketch of the first horseman. And the class were like, oh, okay. And then we can't wait till next week to see what's happening. And then, well, at that point, they didn't quite realize what would be happening. But then next week, it would be the next one. And they would all be in pencil. And then eventually, because it took a while to get through the teaching, so it worked out good. And then I would start adding the color. And then it was like, at the end, we had a full color illustration of the Four Horsemen. So, you know, and the students just loved it. So, it was very fulfilling.
You know, I think some of your paintings, well, really all of your paintings are very true to Scripture, but some of them bring to my mind a perception that brings to life the black and white of Scripture in a way that even my imagination had not been able to fill out. So have you ever found that it was difficult for you to envision some of the paintings that you came up with, or did they just burst on your imagination, your gifted mind, as you would read God's Word and say, I know how to put this into a visual to present what's being described by John?
First of all, I have to say this, that before I would start any of these illustrations, well, before I started teaching, of course, this class, I read over the Scriptures several times. And to do the artwork, I would read over that particular portion, for instance, the Emerald Throne scene. I would read over it again and again, like several times, and throughout I would pray for God's guidance. I would pray that His Holy Spirit would let me see what He wanted me to see. So to answer your question, probably 85% of the visions described came to me very clearly as I would read the Scripture and ask for, you know, God to lead me. And so I would see what it was He wanted me to do. And I just prayed, let me do what You want me to do. Show me what You want me to illustrate. And it would come to me. Some of them were much harder, like the beast out of the sea from chapter 13. I mean, he had 7 heads and 10 horns. And how do you get 10 horns on 7 heads? It was like, because I'm drawing literally. And we know there's a lot of symbolism in that, but I was trying to draw this beast. And so that was very difficult. The other one was the trumpet judgments when the locusts come out of the abyss, and it's like, it's describing them as locusts. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what do they look like with tails that sting? Because as far as I know, locusts don't sting, but these ones do. And then there were the things that you hear about, like, oh, well, this really means helicopters with guns and all that. Like, and so I had to like separate all that out. I wanted to illustrate exactly what the Scripture was saying, and literally. So I made them look like locusts. So there were little decisions like that I had to make. And the other one was the sixth seal, when the sky is rolled back like a scroll. When you think about it, if the sky was rolled back like the scroll, what would you see? So I had to think about how to illustrate that. So there were decisions like that were very difficult. And so I just prayed for God's guidance. And little by little, it would come. And so that's basically, you know, what I would do.
Wow. Well, that you can capture something that's beyond our human understanding and connect people to the book of Revelation and to the throne of God in particular. And that's why, for me, my favorite picture that you did is the throne room of God with the seraphim in the front. Do you have a favorite?
Well, that is one of my favorites. The other one is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, chapter 19, 11 to 16, where Christ is coming back on the white horse. Also, I love War in Heaven. Michael defeats the dragon, and he's throwing the dragon out of heaven and his third of the angels, demons at that point. So that one was difficult. I mean, that one was very difficult, but it was also one of my favorites.
And I can tell you, Pat, as you're describing these, we will put these on the screen for our viewers to see, because we will reference not only your wonderful book that is available, but we'll provide some of these very pictures so that the pictures themselves are conveying exactly what you're describing.
Oh, thank you. A note about I have to mention this about the Emerald Throne scene, Nathan, since you asked about that one. At the point when I was illustrating that, I needed to, this is like really was proof to me that God was leading me. And at this point, I was looking for source material for angel, for wings, like for feathers, and because the four beasts are covered with wings. And so I wanted to do them like feathers, you know. So I went to the library because that's all the source I could find. And I was looking for books with, with birds with wings and things, so I could make sure the wings were authentically looking like wings. So as I was at the library at that point, back then they had recordings that you could take out. You could take out of the library, and so I found Handel's Messiah, which I never really heard all the way through. But I thought, you know, I'm going to listen to music while I'm illustrating, which really helps if you're doing something like that or doing anything, actually. But anyway, so I took the recording home and I'm working on this illustration of the Emerald Throne scene. At the point where I was working on the angels, the little faces of all the thousands and hundreds of thousands of angels singing, I'm going, like, just sitting there not paying too much attention. Music's playing Handel's Messiah. And I hear in Handel's Messiah the exact scripture that I'm illustrating. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise, and from chapter 5. And at that point, I just got chills. I thought, wow, Lord, you just led me to the very thing to inspire me. Isn't that a neat story, how God works?
Certainly is. And I agree with you. Music and art, sometimes they evoke not only an emotional response, but again, taking our limited vision, and some of us don't have the gift of imagination or envisioning that you do, and it takes it to a higher level. I agree with Nathan. For many years now, Pat, your artwork has graced so many of the materials that we produce here at Lamb and Lion, because we are proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ. And all that John is describing in Revelation, that's our mission statement. And you've been kind enough to allow us to share your wonderful work with people around the world. Can you share some of the other unexpected impacts that your work has had? I'm sure you've heard from countless numbers of people thanking you for sharing your gift so graciously with so very, very many.
Yes, I have. Unexpected, good and bad. I just want to mention this, that it was very unexpected. I was totally clueless that when you do something like this, and when I did the artwork, it was fine. I did 40 illustrations total. And when I did the artwork, it was fine. Not too much happened. But whenever I started to put it into some form that would be shared with more people, because people were contacting me, we need it for our Bible studies or whatever. And I was demonically attacked. Seriously, there were things that happened, and I recorded it in my book because I think it's something that's important to know, that when you do something like this, Satan realizes that this is going to be a visual representation of his final demise, his final downfall. He didn't want people to see it. So that was unexpected. But the other unexpected things that started to happen that were wonderful, well, I was asked to be on a program in Canada called 100 Huntley Street. That was in, I think, 1982 or 83. And all I had was the original artwork. And when I went on that program and I came home from being on the program, I received hundreds and hundreds of letters, which was, I was shocked. And people were saying, we need this in our Bible study. We need, I had nothing. I just had the originals. And that was that point that I thought, there's God speaking through those people. And we were able to put it into visual. We started out with art prints and then slides way back then, 35 millimeter slides. And now we have, you know, digital forms and things like that. But that was a shock. That was like probably one of the biggest shocks. And also, I got a call after we had the video produced. We have a video also. I got a call from someone from California, from Calvary Chapel out there. And they were saying that they showed that video to like their congregation. I don't know how many thousand people. They're really large. And they said like about 2,000 people went forward to accept the Lord without even any preaching. They just showed Revelation illustrated. And I was like shocked and blessed for that. And the other thing is the requests from all over the world we get now. And in the beginning, it was a real shock because I started when we had the video done, we got calls from Switzerland and France and Belgium, people who wanted to have it, who wanted it done in French and German. And I forget what there's like probably like six different languages that was been done in. And that was like a real surprise and wonderful because now it's shared all over.
I can't think of a Bible prophecy conference I haven't gone to where at least one presenter hasn't shown part of your art to try to demonstrate what they're trying to teach. So I feel like as a speaker, well, we go to speak and we try to relay the impossible to an audience. And visually, they can connect through your art, which is so wonderful. Mm-hmm. So wonderful. Besides the series you did on Revelation, have you done other series from the Bible?
Not series, but I've done a lot of different artwork. I've done the parable of the 10 virgins, depicted that from Matthew 25, and also the tabernacle. I did it as the sun was setting, and so the pillar of fire is coming down. The tabernacle, and that was from Exodus. I also did Ezekiel's vision from chapter 1 and 10 from Ezekiel. I've done one called the covenant with God and Abraham between the sacrifices. I've done the rapture, and that one was quite challenging because there's a lot of detail in that. I did that actually for ABC News Productions, which there was another surprise. They called me. They were doing a program on the rapture, and they knew I did Revelation somehow, and they asked if I would do that a picture on the rapture, and I said sure. I was excited about it, and they said, we'll fly you to New York with the artwork, and I said okay. And what happened was they said here's the kicker, we need it in 2 weeks.
Oh boy.
And if you've ever seen my picture of the rapture, I did it in 2 weeks, but there's thousands of people in the picture, you know, details.
How, from a technical standpoint, for those budding artists who are watching today, how long does it take? Do you use oil or acrylic? And how large a canvas do you use to get the level of detail that you have? So length, type of paint, and then scale of the painting.
It depends on the detail and how, if there's a lot of detail in it, I would do it large. Like the, for instance, the rapture is, oh golly, maybe 30 by 24 or something like that. And I do it on illustration board, and I use airbrushed acrylics a lot and some watercolor. But then some of them are just small, like the open door in heaven. It's a very simple illustration of the open door in heaven, and it's only about 8 by 10 inches. So it just depends. And when I was doing it, I was like, I had no clue that we were going to do anything with it. If I had a clue, I would have done them all, you know, the same size or a uniform size, because it makes it easier when you're doing digital shots of them.
Have you, as the years have gone on and you've developed your art and skill, have you seen your art change over time, or do you pretty much have this set type of style that defines you?
I kind of have a style because I it depends on the materials you're using. And I really love using airbrush. But lately I've been doing more watercolor, and then I combine that with airbrush. I'm doing a lot of children's books now. When I do that, I do the watercolor because it's just a little more, I don't know what you'd call a friendly kind of art for children's books.
Well, it's a softer kind of look, I'm sure.
Softer, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, so children's books. Pat, how would someone, we have always advocated your artwork to anyone we come in contact with through our various publications, but how could someone stay in touch with you and really your ministry, your gift, and be able to access all the various art resources, whether it's the Revelation Illustrated book that we love, whether it's your Revelation artwork or your other offerings that you have today? How could they be in touch with you?
Well, there's two ways. We have a website, and if they could go on the website, it's revelationillustrated.com. And if they go on there, all our materials are on there under the products list. They can order online, or they can call us, and I can give my 800 number. It's 1-800-327-7330. That's for our office. And they can order by phone. They can actually, I'll show this. It's a catalog. I don't know if you can see it, but we can send that catalog to them, and it has all the artwork in it so that they can order. So, you know, and not only the artwork, but also we have art prints. We have the video, the digital images that for use in PowerPoint and that sort of thing.
Well, besides Toloring Books, is there any new projects that you're excited about that you want to get started on?
I don't have anything I'm working on right at this moment. I have a couple clients who have written children's books and they're going to get back to me. Oh, and by the way, if you asked about children's books, we do have a link on there. It's under licensing and commissioning new art. And there's a link. If you go to that page, it gives you all the information on how to contact me for, personally to do artwork for you, any kind of artwork, and or to license the art. We license our artwork a lot to different publishers and things. So,
fantastic. You know, I will tell you this. I mentioned already, I wish I had the gift of painting. I have an artistic, motivation, even though the Lord hasn't given me that gift as He has you. But as an engineer by training, I've always been fascinated that even in one of the high points of American engineering, the space program, and as a pilot as well, I love the testimony of one of the Apollo astronauts who said when NASA sent men into space and to the moon, they chose pilots and engineers. But this astronaut said NASA should have sent at least one artist because although the pilot engineers could describe what they'd seen in technical terms, he said, I don't think we captured with our gift the beauty and just the awe of what we saw in space and on the moon, and an artist could have conveyed that to the American people and to the world much more effectively. So again, I'm so very grateful that you have been faithful. Nathan and I can describe, obviously the Word of God is sufficient unto itself, but for most people who are visual learners, you've really helped expand their understanding and their appreciation, even when our own imagination kind of leaves us wanting more, and you've provided the more.
That was my goal. Thank you. And I praise God for that.
Well, Nathan, any other thoughts or questions on your part?
Again, I just want to thank you for many years of visual aids that have helped us speakers convey which that is divine. And so the Lord has given you a gift and you've used it mightily for Him. And I'm just so excited that you've been able to allow us over the years to use your art under license, of course, to share our message, what's in our heart, that Jesus is coming soon. So I guess that's the question. Are you excited the Lord's coming back soon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all that you see in those pictures is just a glimpse. It's not able to compare at all to the reality of some of the heaven. And a few days before my mom had passed away, we sat on the couch together and she held my hand and she said, I'm not afraid of dying. And I says, I know, because she was a wonderful Christian. And I says, let's talk about heaven. And we did. And I said, and she says, oh, I remember your picture. I says, Mom, that's nowhere near what it's going to be like. It's going to be so much better. That's just a picture. Can you imagine what heaven's really going to be like?
I think that's a beautiful word. You know, Nathan here is a fellow native Pennsylvanian, so it's good to know that Lord has lived there for a while, at least.
Yeah.
But good things coming out of Pennsylvania. If you ever make it to the Dallas area, please stop in and visit us personally. But even as a gifted artist, you make a great point. We cannot completely envision or describe or even in art depict all the glories that await us. Mind of man has not yet comprehended what he has in store for those who have put their trust in him. So until he comes for us, we pray great blessing on your work, Pat, as you are faithful to serve him and to use that gift so wonderfully.
Thank you.
Folks, we are obviously blown away by the artistic ability of Pat Marvinko Smith, just as I am by Michelangelo and Raphael and other great artists from the past. But the truth is that although few of us have her ability to capture on canvas great beauty and truth, all of us have a gift given by God so that we can use to glorify him. Some of you are great writers and poets. Some have beautiful voices or musical talent. Others have a gift for making personal connections with other people and empathizing with them regardless of the circumstance. Some are gifted in preaching and teaching the gospel, while others have a miraculous ability to serve people who are old, young, or in between.
The point is that if we all had Pat Marvinko Smith's gift, the church would be underserved in other critical areas. No matter who you are, when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit grants you a gift to edify the church and glorify the Lord. Now, some of you are thinking, but I don't know what my gift is, and perhaps you've not discovered it yet, but I'd encourage you to engage with the local church and be intentional about seeking out fellow believers. That is the best environment to discover and hone and utilize your gift.
How glorious it is that our Lord saw fit to knit us together, calling us the body of Christ and pointing out that no member of the body is more important than another. Some members may draw more attention, just as a nose is more prominent than an elbow, but without elbows, our mobility would be severely restricted. In fact, we could never even scratch our own nose. So the God who created noses and elbows has blessed us all by sprinkling gifts among all his children. We'll be back next week with another episode of Christ in Prophecy. Until then, pray that the Lord would reveal your special gift and provide opportunities for you to employ it for his kingdom. And whether you're an elbow or a nose, let's determine together to stay alert as we await our soon returning King. Godspeed.
Christ in Prophecy is made possible through the faithful and generous support of viewers like you. Please consider making a donation to Lamb and Lion Ministries so that we can continue broadcasting the message of Jesus' soon return. Thank you and God bless you.